You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, September 22nd. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Kevin Lentz from St. Mark Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Good morning, Pastor Lentz.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you as our guest this morning, joining us from St. Mark in Omaha, Nebraska. Share with us a little bit about your congregation.
Well, St. Mark is going to be celebrating its 60th anniversary here later next year, 2016. Looking forward to that. There's been a lot of wonderful activities taking place. We've got a great staff in place, a minister of music and a properties man and a wonderful preschool, and everybody else makes it a great place to worship, a great place to spend your free time and as we worship God.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry there in Omaha, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, celebrating his good gifts. We are looking at 1 Timothy chapter 5 today, verses 1 through 16. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, it's clearly one of St. Paul's more advisory sections in Scripture. There's no, or at least not a lot, of gospel and cross and Christ and forgiveness and love in this, but it's still a very beautiful text on how we should respect and honor and care for, in this particular case, that the widows in our lives mm-hmm. that might come along. And so he gives advice in general about how we should treat all people, but it's mostly about taking care of those who've entered widowhood.
Mm. All right, we are studying 1 Timothy chapter 5 today, verses 1 through 16, with Pastor Kevin Lentz from St. Mark Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. If you have a question or a comment, you can call or email today. We're glad to take some questions or comments along the way. 314-821-0850 is the St. Louis number, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or the email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, let's take a look. 1 Timothy chapter 5, first couple of verses here. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. All right, let's take a look just at that before we get too much further into the text.
Yeah, St. Paul begins this chapter with sort of like an overall look of everything. This is how you can treat the men and women, those who are older than you, those who are younger than you, in your life. It's just goodly, godly advice. It's how we can respect the people that God has brought into our lives. It's pretty much, very much following, like they say, the fourth commandment of honoring your father and mother, which is really also all authorities. And so we give thanks for the opportunity that he gives us as to respect the people, regardless of who they are, people we should, of course, we shouldn't look down on anyone, but just advise on how we should honor and respect the people that God has brought into our life.
Indeed. We should respect them as the gifts that they are in our lives. All right. Well, anything else about verses 1 and 2 before we get into verses 3 and following, talking about widows?
Well, I think you can also make the point that you find this kind of wording in different places in Scripture as well. You find that James in his epistle says sort of the same thing, to take care of widows, take care of orphans. So just the people in our lives that we, as we look upon them, and as we love all people, but as we kind of look at them and say, well, they're having just a tougher time, they've got a tougher row to hoe right now, how can I go out of my way and help them? Because they might not be able to help themselves. They might be in a place right now where they may just be a little bit more needy, a little bit more helpless, and might just want some love poured into their lives. If nothing else, just people kind of giving them attention, because when you're dealing with widows, and I find this in my ministry, sadly, sometimes you find out that they're not just alone maritally, but sometimes they're just kind of alone in general. Mm-hmm. The friends aren't there so much because maybe relationships kind of pass away over time as well. And so it's really kind of an opportunity to show love and care and compassion to people who may be even more lonely than we realize. And so that's why I really appreciate what St. Paul is writing here. It takes a whole bunch of verses here just to say, hey, let's look out for these wonderful older gals who love the Lord, who serve the Lord, and who may now just kind of be on their own and kind of going through life a bit more sad because they're just not in so many relationships anymore.
Hmm. All right, let's take a look. Verses 3 and following. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So honor widows who are truly widows.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this reminds me of where Christ himself said, you know, he's kind of quoted saying that the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He said that in Matthew 7, verse 12. But another way to look at that same sort of text is to just do not do unto others as you would not have them do unto you. So just like, not just treat them well, but make sure you don't treat them unkindly, but treat them as if they are a person of again, all people, equal stature, equal love by the Lord. And as we look at one another, it's not just, well, okay, you're a widow, how can I care for you? No. You are a daughter of God. You are loved by the Lord. Christ died for you. How is it I can be Christ in your life and be his hands, be his words, be his compassion, be his kindness? And so I think what's so important here that we understand is that we do look upon these widows who may have had most of their years kind of behind them, and they may have a little bit more private time, alone time, to themselves, but it's still our job to see that their time is filled with godliness and goodliness and people who want to serve and care for and look to one another. Christ always had compassion on the helpless. And I'm not calling the widows helpless, not one bit whatsoever. But, like I said just a little bit ago, they may be a little bit more lonely. And if there was ever anyone who was kind and loving and compassionate towards those who are maybe a little bit more looked down upon, which of course we know we shouldn't do, but in society that'll happen. I mean, it was Christ. He's the one who healed the lepers. He's the one who fed the hungry. He's the one who took care of those outcasts who are possessed by demons. And he took it upon himself, as only he could, to be what they needed him to be for them. In a sense, I'd say that's kind of what St. Paul's inviting us to do here and to be all about. Look beyond yourself. Look past your own wants, your own desires, your own personal needs, which are, of course, real, and put yourself in the shoes of the widows. Really try and have not just sympathy, but true empathy. What are their days like? What are they dealing with as someone who's now alone? How are you helping them through the trials they may have to deal with? And they may have quite a few that they may not share with people too much, like making some financial decisions, or maybe some issues where they live that has to be taken care of. We all have needs, and just because someone loses a spouse and we might not think about them so much, doesn't mean they don't have daily needs as well. And so we give thanks for that we can do that. One more thought is that there's kind of this talk of kind of repaying going on here, just so like giving back to them. You know, Scripture never requires us to repay our God. You know, and we can't. We could never give back to God the amount of love that God gives to us. We can never give back to Christ payment for what he did for us on his cross. We can never repay that empty grave, even though it's all shared with us. So while we can't repay God, we can repay the people in our lives and take care of those. Again, these widows, let's keep in mind, maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, they were younger. They had smaller children. They raised those children. Now that everyone's aged 50 years, those widows are maybe alone. Those children who are now parents themselves have the opportunity to return the favor and kind of do a repayment sort of thing and say, hey, I can be there for mom. I can be there for widowers. I can be there for dad as well. They need my help. I can see that. And so, yeah, I want to burden myself. I want to go out of my way. I want to make things a little bit more challenging for me than just being so self-imposed, but looking outward and saying, who in my life could really use my help right now? Who in my life could really use me to be Christ to them, or the love of God to them, or the hands of disciples to them, or the mouth of encouragement to them? That's really what St. Paul is wanting us to be here. Again, it's not a, okay, my parents, let's see, college cost this much, so I owe them that, and new shoes and, you know, everything cost that much, so I got to kind of refund them for that. We're not talking dollars, obviously, but we are talking about living the faith. This is a beautiful, sanctified text about how we, again, as people who are already in place, redeemed through the blood of Christ, this is not about how you can be saved or how you can work your way into heaven. Of course we don't believe that, but this is how we can, in a sense, fulfill and live and honor God with the commandments. And in so doing, be the people that God wants us to be as his children. It's just a text that is, it's, there aren't a lot of texts in Scripture that talk about widowhood, but this is one of the most beautiful ones of them all.
If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow left all alone has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives.
Yeah, and he makes really good points there that there may be people that we are aware of, you know, we keep in our prayers, who might be, in whatever life stage they are in, who are, like the text says, self-indulgent and might be somewhat looking for themselves. My text here says, who lives for pleasure, which is, I mean, the same thing, but it's just interesting, the two different twists on that, because they're both right. When you are self-indulgent or when you're living for pleasure, I mean, clearly you're taking care of, first and foremost, the person in that mirror. You know, hey, what can I do for me? How can I make myself feel good? How can I watch out for myself and even disregard others? And we would pray that not only not widows be that way in their lives, but all women, and not just older widows, but younger widows, as, you know, we know that this can happen any time when wives may lose their husbands. But we would just pray that God would lead all of his children, and in this particular case, widows, younger or older, to not be self-indulgent, to not be self-pleasing, to, in a sense, they too, they'll have some wisdom, they can share that as well, and they have some faith they can certainly live by, to, again, look outwardly, not inwardly, and be what God would have all of his people would be. Just St. Paul being particular with widowhood here, though.
Command, verse 7, command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
You know, it's really interesting about that. I'm going to reread verse 8, because you just read, because I want to read verse 4 after it. He says the same thing, just from the negative. Verse 4 first, if a widow has children or grandchildren, he should learn first to put all to practice and put their religion to practice. And verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith. So he says the same thing in 4 and 8, but just in 4 from the positive side, you should take care of those people in your life who need your help. And in verse 8, he repeats it, but, and if you don't do what I told you to do just a couple of verses ago, shame on you, it's a bad thing, it's displeasing to the Lord, you're dishonoring them. You're not living as God would have you do. So I really appreciate how St. Paul kind of bookends that section with, this is what you should do, and then goes a little bit more detail into it, and this is the same thing, but how you should not do it. It's just sort of that old thing that sometimes you got to repeat yourself to make sure you're heard, and that's what he's doing here. And I think he's just making a very good point about comparing widows and people in general, and how we should and how we make sure we do not take care of them. So I think it's wonderful how he states that.
Anything else up through verse 8, Pastor, before we look at the next section?
Not particularly as I can think of. Like I said, I just think it's a beautiful text, and there's a lot more to discuss in the coming verses, but I think I've covered things I wanted to talk in the first half of this text.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Kevin Lentz from St. Mark Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll move on to verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9 and following. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be back in just a moment.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
You're listening to His Time. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Kevin Lentz from St. Mark Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Again, if you have a question or a comment, we are studying 1 Timothy chapter 5. You can give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. All right, Pastor, are we ready to go on to verse 9?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's take a look. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. All right, let's take a look at verse 9. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation for good works. That is, if she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty common in the church today to have different lists of peoples. You have youth group lists, you have maybe your Sunday school teachers, your elders, your council, and maybe your cradle role and things like that, your seniors ministry. It appears in this first century, or at least maybe at the Church of Ephesus, there was a list of widows. And honestly, I think that's a pretty good idea. And you have it not just to have some names on paper, but of what a list like that can do for the church. First of all, it can be a bit of a like a checklist. Let's make sure that these women who may be alone most of the time are cared for, are looked after, are loved, are provided for, and that their needs that family may have been able to take care of in the past or a husband may be able to take care of in the past and now can't get done is at least being taken care of. So it's a bit of a, like I say, a way to look out for those who might be in a little bit more of a need. But I think that list of widows serves another reason, is that I think it's a roster of willing servants for when the church is in need of many hands. We here at St. Mark in Omaha are blessed. I'm sure many, many, many of our churches are blessed by the ministry that the older women of the congregation do. I mean, the love they show to people of all ages, the kindness they show. They help prepare things, say like funeral meals or other kinds of events that take place. And they're just such willing and able hands. They love serving, and it's a beautiful display of their faith. So the list of widows is not just maybe a checklist. Let's make sure that they're taken care of. Maybe it's also a list where, hey, we need some real workers right now to pitch in with short notice. Mm-hmm. And guess who's going to be those kind of people? It's going to be those wonderful, godly women who've lived their faith the whole life. And it's just a beautiful thing to see their outward example. And he even gives, St. Paul, gives even examples of what they're willing to do. I mean, talking about washing the feet of the saints and serving that. And while foot washing may not be as popular in our culture today, you still have widows who look after folks who are maybe more the Band-Aid providers, you know, or the hug givers, you know, things like that people really need. And they have a beautiful sense of knowing when to give that kind of stuff. And so we give them that opportunity, and they love the opportunity to serve. And it's kind of reminiscent, this list of folk, they have to be at least 60, they have to do this, they have to do that. And it makes good to have some kind of criterion. It's no different than what Luke wrote in the book of Acts in chapter 6, that, hey, we need some people to look after tables right here, because we apostles are really kind of busy right now. But let's raise up some, first and foremost, some godly people who then have the ability to do that and then put them in charge. That's kind of what we're talking about here first as well. Let's see who amongst our group here, amongst our parish, amongst the folks who we worship with, live the faith, give examples of the faith. I'm such a good Christian. I mean, you can just tell by looking at them, by the love they display, that they want to live it. And so you kind of put those wonderful, beautiful ladies on a list like that so they can still not just feel valuable, but put their faith into action and help others who are in need. A lot of widows don't necessarily want to have that feel sorry for me mentality. My life is going on. Yes, I lost my husband. I miss him horribly, and I always will. That will not change in this life. But I still have days ahead of me. God hasn't called me home yet. So I'm going to honor God as I honor his church and serve the people in my life. And I want to be on that list of widows so I can continue to be what God needs me to be as long as he's got me in his life and in this world. It's a beautiful paragraph. It really is.
This really speaks a lot about vocation, doesn't it? Why are vocations God-given? Can't we just choose to do whatever we want to do? What's the difference?
Well, yeah, we have the freedom to do that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's denying the chance you can make of yourself whatever you want, go in any profession you want. But I think the child of God who looks at the gifts that God has given him or her and then develops them and then uses them for the good of others in society and community, in the workplace, providing for others, absolutely, that is the most fulfilling type of work that there can be. It has nothing to do with payroll and income. It's that old expression, you know, do something you love and you never work a day of your life, you know? Well, when we develop the skills and talents and gifts and abilities that God himself has given of us, because they're not the same as anybody. We are unique and wonderfully made, knit together in our mother's womb by our God. We are individuals. And when God has given us various gifts and we develop them, yeah, you better believe it's all about honoring God with our vocation. I think, didn't Luther even said just the milkmaids honor God just by doing what God has called them to be because they were needed for that particular vocation at that time? So you're absolutely right, Andy. That's exactly what it is.
All right. Anything else up through verse 10 before we go on to the next section?
Just the fact that I think what St. Paul's saying here is that we need to take advantage, and it isn't just for widows, but for all people, their willingness to serve. When you have someone who steps up and is like, you know what, my congregation doesn't have this ministry right now, but I have a passion for it. And I'm not going to say, okay, well, let's just, y'all just start that. No, but like, I think I can start that. I think God has given me the talent to do that. Just kind of get a little bit courageous maybe and say, you know what, go out forward to your leaders and say, hey, I want to begin this ministry. I want to begin that ministry because I have a passion for it. The Lord has laid that on me, and so I feel others would be blessed through my service in this way. So, yeah, I think when we step forward and not be so timid, but just say, hey, I think God is calling me to do this right now in my life for the good of others. Boy, I would hope any and every church would say, oh, God bless you. Let's, let's move forward with this. Let's develop that and see how we can be a blessing for God's kingdom in this place.
Verse 13, besides that, they learn to be idlers. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a couple of verses. Let's go to 11.
Right.
But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur a condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So, do not enroll younger widows. Why?
Well, I think it's just a very practical word of advice, just that when they are younger and sadly should they lose their husband, they still may feel they have the majority of life ahead of them. They still may want to have a family. They still want to have someone with whom they want to have children, because that's kind of what a lot of people want to have. They men and women, and I'm not just talking women here, but a lot of folks want to have families, and if a widow would have become entering widowhood before that would possibly happen, why would her desires change? I mean, we're still who we are. I mean, circumstances may change, but who we are is who we are. That doesn't change so quickly and easily. So he's saying, you know, not so much, he's saying they have to marry, but he says he just kind of encourages them to mourn and grieve their husband, but to move on forward now and maybe pick up their pieces where they were before with, like, you know, I can't deny that I still want a family. I still want children. I still want grandchildren down the road. I still want a husband. I still want somebody to grow old with. And I don't have any of that opportunity if I stay in the station I'm in right now as this young widow. And also, God is the one who's given us desires and cravings. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting intimacy, especially for someone who's of an age where they can still greatly want that with someone with whom they can share their life with. I mean, God is the one who's given us the ability to have children, to grow the family. And so, yes, we hurt for these young widows. And it pains everyone to see such a young lady lose her husband at whatever cause. But the hope is still, like, I hope you're able to grieve well, and then move forward and see what God has for you. I think the one who says, I'm just not going to do it. I've been married once. I'm not going to do it. You can't find fault with that. People live their own lives. But again, on the other hand, if someone's like, well, I think I'm ready to move forward to someone else now, you can't find fault with that either, because we can't help who God has created us to be organically. We can't help who God has created us to be in our various drives and cravings and even kind of desires in life. There's nothing wrong with that. And also, kind of going back to the previous passages, he said, let's not put these younger widows on this list of widows, because then they're going to find out that they won't be real faithful to the list of widows, because they're going to maybe want to move forward with their lives. And so then they're going to be on the list, and then off the list, and things like that. So St. Paul is just kind of being very wise here in recognizing different people of different ages have different lifestyles. Different people of different ages have different desires and goals. And praise God, there's nothing wrong with that. It's who God has made us to be as we develop ourselves.
Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. This is, I don't know, I kind of picture this as some of the characters in some movies I've seen.
I think it's a great observation, and I think you make a very good point. And I don't really want to speak too bluntly, but I'm afraid some of us have probably known these people along the way who have become idlers, busybodies, kind of what we call today gossipers. And it's just not the healthiest thing for a group to have a gossip among the group. Can you imagine if a group of faithful widows who want to be faithful on a list of widows, who want to say, okay, we are formed for the purpose of serving this congregation at this time, if you were to have someone join that group who might not be quite as focused on them and spend their time, even amongst the group, being kind of idle and not pitching in, not helping, not working, or being a little bit more of a busybody, a bit more of a gossip, a bit more of a talker. There's nothing that I think can really hurt a group than to have just even one person in there who's not focused on the task of the group. I mean, like I say, like with one bad apple can spoil the whole barrel. You know, I mean, it's just kind of what we're talking about here. So he just says, younger ladies, we're so sorry for your loss, and we always will be. You loved your husband, no doubt about that. But you may have the opportunity to move forward again with someone else that you don't even know about yet. But let's just see what God has in store for you. So, yeah, he's kind of talking, like I say, or like you say, good point, Andy. This is kind of some Hollywood stuff. This is kind of some movie stuff. It's the conflict that always makes the good storyline. That's kind of what we're talking about here, which may play out well in a novel or on a screen, but may not play out so well in the life of God's people and in the life of the church.
Verse 14, so I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander, for some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's just take a look at 14 and 15 before I go much further.
No, sure. This, counseling the younger widows to marry, to have children, again, it's kind of, I was struggling with the best way to put it. I don't want to say go out and have a fresh start, because that may sound like it's sort of minimizing their first marriage, their first relationship. So I'm kind of, you know, trying to find the best way to say it. But it kind of is that same sort of thing, like a second start, maybe a better way to put it, that you have the chance now in your life that you still have opportunity to move forward. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to face each day by yourself, but you can spend your days, spend your time with someone that, again, the Lord has not even yet brought into your life, but be open to the fact that he may yet, you know, there may be somebody out there that the Lord has already raised up to be that second person in your life that could be very wonderful to you. I think it's just kind of saying, don't close yourself off to God's will, which, again, of course, we don't know what God has in store for us even 15, 20 minutes from now. So be open to the working of God in your life. And if it's God's will that you have children, have a family, again, down the road, maybe even be blessed with grandchildren. I know it's not listed, but just have a growing, wonderful family. There's no need to feel guilty about that. There's no need to feel sad about that. There's no need to feel like you're not being faithful here. Scripture's saying you're being very faithful here. You've just got a different place in life than maybe a lot of folks have. Not too many folks enter widowhood at a young age, but it does happen. And so Paul is writing them here to say, hey, if you're one of those few, percentage-wise, who have to deal with that, it doesn't mean God's given up on you at all. It means God is saying to you that life is still ahead of you. You're still my child. I still love you very much. And be open to what I have in store for you. Be open possibly to who I have in store for you. Be open to what relationships I have in store for you. So he does a very good job here of encouraging them, not requiring them, of course. You can't force marriage on anyone, but just kind of, I think, addressing the guilt trip before it gets there. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing sinful, bad, sorrowful about marrying another time if you become a widow. And so I even talks about children. I think it does a great job here.
If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows.
You know, this is a really good passage on how we should be doing that as not just the church, but as God's people. I had a very good pastoral friend of mine one time say, you know, when he was, as a younger pastor, if he had someone in his congregation who was going through a difficult time, I mean, immediately the family would pick that person up. It was a beautiful thing to see. He'd say, now you see a little bit more help coming from other sources taking place. Maybe, you know, some means of just saying, well, I can't get by, so who's going to help me and put themselves out there? But when you see a family stepping up and saying, we will be there for you, we will care for you, we will love you, we will be what you need us to be, we're going to make sure that you're not lonely, we're going to make sure that you're taken care of. We know you live on your own, and so there's going to be some lonely times, there's going to be some quiet times, there's going to be some alone times, but if nothing else, we need you to make sure that you know we are with you. We will never abandon you. We will never forsake you. We will be with you every step of the way, and we are no further than a phone call away. We are no further than just picking up something and saying, hey, you know what? I need a little company right now. I need a little friendship right now. I need a little companionship right now from my son, from my daughter, from my grandson, from my granddaughter, from my son-in-law, from my daughter-in-law. I'm just a little lonely right now. So I'm asking you to step up and just kind of spend maybe an afternoon with me, or let's go shopping or something. I just want a little company right now. And I would hope all widows who feel that loneliness would be bold enough to do that and say to their loved one, hey, you got a little time? I know we live 100 miles apart, but can we talk right now on a phone for a little bit? I would really like that. I'm just needing some company. And I think it's what St. Paul is encouraging the people to do, to not say, oh, okay, church, it's your job. Their members there. You pick them up. No, family, loved ones, that's your family. That's who raised you. You be there for them. And don't ever make these widows in their widowhood become a burden to anyone. You take care of that before it ever gets to that stage.
Looking over the text, Pastor, as a whole, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text as a whole with just about a minute left?
Well, I just think, like I said, there's not a lot of advice on widowhood in Scripture overall. This is clearly one of the most beautiful places in Scripture where Paul is not just kind of telling widows, this is how it can be for you. Okay, gals, we're so sorry for you. You've lost your husband. But, I mean, there's a lot of that in there, but it's also to the entire church. Okay, I'm not just writing to widows now. I'm writing to everyone else. If you have these wonderful, godly, faithful Christian women in your life, and you're not the least bit related to them, if you're not kin to them at all, why does that matter? They're still God's daughters. I mean, no matter how old they may live to be, we are all still children of God. And so we treat someone, everyone, as if they are God's loved, special children in the eyes of the Lord. And we look upon them as God himself and Christ himself would look upon them.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Kevin Lentz from St. Mark Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Pastor Lentz, thanks for being our guest pastor and helping us study this text in 1 Timothy chapter 5.
Thank you for the opportunity, Andy. I really enjoyed it.
God bless you and all the saints that are at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Coming up in just a little bit, we have some sacred music to help start off your morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.